Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. You've probably heard some of these names: peripheral artery disease, that's PAD, or carotid stenosis. You've probably heard about screenings. They're held everywhere from shopping town to hospitals to churches. The question is, what are these diseases? What are these screenings? Who's at risk? Who needs to be screened? Will it help them? Many, many questions, and an expert in the studio to answer them for us this morning, Dr. Michael Costanza, Assistant Professor of Surgery at Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Costanza.
Good morning.
And welcome back. You haven't been here in a while.
That's right.
But you're always good for answering questions about vascular disease. What is vascular disease?
Well, vascular disease is just a disease of the blood vessels outside of the heart, and that usually involves hardening of the arteries that causes narrowings or blockages that can cause problems in, you know, various organs or your extremities.
It's interesting that you say hardening of the arteries. I remember that was what my grandmother was diagnosed with and died from, and now we call it all kinds of other things, don't we?
Right. The medical term is atherosclerosis, and that just means hardening of the arteries, and it's really the most common cause of cardiovascular death and sickness in this country.
And dementia too, isn't it?
That's right. If it affects the arteries in the brain or the arteries leading to the brain, that can be a cause of dementia.
Very interesting. Okay, so I've seen TV commercials for PAD and this very concerned young man talking to his mother about her PAD. I know it stands for peripheral artery disease, but what does that mean?
Peripheral artery disease is just hardening of the arteries or blockages that go to the legs, and that can cause various problems. The most obvious problem is that it causes bad circulation in the legs, which can make it difficult to walk. And in severe cases, it can even lead to amputations and things like that. So it's a significant problem in terms of disability, but it also has a strong association with heart disease. So even if you don't have symptoms of PAD, the fact that you have the blockages or narrowings identifies you as a risk group for having heart disease. So it's important in both of those ways.
It is. And you say it makes it difficult to walk. So is that the symptom?
That's the most common symptom. And what happens is that when you walk, your muscles want more blood flow. And if you have blockages in the arteries to the legs, they won't get that extra blood flow. And when they don't get the blood flow, they start cramping, and it makes it difficult to walk. It's just like when we were all younger and tried to run really, really fast. At a certain point, we had to slow down because the muscles, you know, didn't have enough oxygen to keep up. But the same thing is happening when we walk in people with PAD.
Very interesting. It sounds like pain, right? It must be
That's
painful.
Right.
Okay. But it also sounds, I know that I have friends who are a little bit older who have neuropathy and their legs hurt. Is it the same kind of pain?
It's different because neuropathy is typically a pain that happens at rest and when people aren't walking. And the pain is also more likely to be in the feet and associated with kind of a pins and needles type sensation. Whereas people that describe claudication pain or pain from PAD, it's more described as a cramping pain that really occurs after a distance of walking, or it can be described as a weakness that really forces them to stop walking.
Claudication.
So they're two different things.
Tell me what claudication means.
Claudication is a word that actually came from the emperor Claudius, who had a limp. And so claudication just means to limp. And
really?
It's just the medical term we use to say that somebody, when they walk after a certain distance, they have to stop because of poor circulation.
Oh, very interesting. All right. Who's at risk for PAD?
Well, PAD is a disease of older people in general. And so usually more people have it as they get older. And in fact, in the group of people above the age of 70, about 1 in 3 actually have some degree of PAD.
They do. And is it all caused by this hardening of the arteries then?
Yeah, the majority of PAD is caused by hardening of the arteries. About 95% of cases are.
What would another cause be?
Well, there are various anatomy situations where the arteries can be compressed by certain muscle groups. Mm-hmm. And there are also some unusual variants of the arteries where you can have scar tissue instead of hardening of the arteries or cholesterol buildup on inside. But those are much less common.
Well, it almost sounds like just because you get older, you're going to have this. It almost sounds like all of us have some hardening of our arteries.
Well, it is true. You know, if you look at people as they get older, there is some degree of hardening of the arteries. But most of the people that develop PAD and symptoms will have other risk factors, such as smoking or diabetes or high cholesterol.
I see.
And those all factor together, along with some family history, to, produce the condition in certain people more severely than others.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to have to watch, because I do have that in my family. It must be dangerous.
Well, it's dangerous in a couple ways. One is that it definitely will decrease your ability to be active, and we all know that, you know, being active is part of being a healthy person. And the other thing is, like I said before, it has a very strong association with heart disease. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the American Heart Association considers the diagnosis of PAD to be the same as having had a previous heart attack.
Really?
So you definitely are at risk for having another cardiovascular event, even if you don't have any symptoms from PAD, if you just have that diagnosis.
Ah, interesting. I want to talk about how it's diagnosed, but we're going to come to that in a moment because you have quite a process. Let's instead talk about how it's treated first.
Sure. There are various treatments for PAD. The least invasive is just therapy with exercise. And what I usually tell patients is to set aside about 30 or 40 minutes a few times a week where they walk until they have the discomfort, mm-hmm. and then they stop. And as soon as the discomfort goes away, within a few minutes, to walk again. And what that does is it actually conditions your muscles to become more efficient. And they'll find that after a couple of weeks of that they are actually able to walk further in between rest breaks.
Does that mean the stenosis has gone away?
No, it just means that your muscles are in better condition to walk a little further on the blood supply that they have. So it's kind of like conditioning for athletes. It's just kind of geared down to people with PAD.
So you're training them to work with what they've got,
exactly.
Not to necessarily
right.
make it go away.
And for people with mild disease, that can really make a big difference. Mm-hmm. And they may no longer feel disabled by the condition. Mm-hmm. So that's usually the first step for people with mild disease.
And suppose that doesn't take care of it.
Well, there is one medication that has been approved for PAD, and it's called Solastazol, or the brand name is Pletol, mm-hmm. and you probably have seen ads for it.
Right.
And basically, that does the same thing. We don't really understand how it works, but it somehow makes the blood flow through the vessels that are open a little bit better, mm-hmm. and it allows people to walk further in between rest breaks. It doesn't take the disease away, but it treats their symptoms.
It does. Okay. Carotid stenosis, we also introduced that. How is that different, or is it the same thing, or...
Well, carotid stenosis is just a blockage or narrowing in the blood vessels that go to the brain. And you have two carotid arteries on each side of your neck, and they feed the two sides of the brain. So if you have a narrowing or blockage there, obviously you would be at risk for having a stroke, because the narrowing can increase your risk for having a piece of that plaque or blockage break off and mm-hmm. go into the brain, causing either a mini stroke or a major stroke.
So people might have pain in their legs. I can't imagine they have pain in the neck. Maybe that's where it comes from. But how can you actually diagnose this in someone?
Well, for the pain in the legs, usually we can diagnose people that are having claudication or pain with walking just by talking to them, mm-hmm. and doing a history and talking about when they have the pain, how far they can walk, and things like that. On the physical exam, usually we can tell by checking their pulses in their legs, where we actually feel the heartbeat in the feet and in the legs. And if their pulses are diminished, that usually is a sign that they may have poor circulation.
But people can be screened, can't they? And that's actually what most people, I think, have heard of. There's an organization that goes around the country and signs up with churches and will screen people for a price. But you do some free screenings as well. And what do those screenings do?
Right. We do screenings for vascular disease, and we look at the carotid arteries with an ultrasound to look for narrowing. And then we look at the abdominal aorta with an ultrasound to look for an aneurysm or an abnormal enlargement. And then we also do an ankle brachioindex, which is a way of measuring the pressure in the ankle and comparing it to the arm. And we know that if the ankle pressure is less than the arm pressure, that they have some degree of narrowing or blockage consistent with PAD.
And so I think the big question is, who do you recommend these screenings for? Because anybody over a certain age, maybe 45 or 50, starts getting mailings from this one company that goes around the country. And it's like $120 or $30 or $40 to get these screenings. Is this something all of us should be doing?
Well, it really should be directed to people in the risk groups, and that's typically people in the older age groups greater than 60 and people who have other risk factors for vascular disease.
Such as?
Diabetes, smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or a strong family history for these problems.
All right. But isn't it something that if I needed it, my doctor would recommend for me?
Yeah, in most cases, I think if you bring it up to your doctor and you are in those risk groups, your physician should be able to direct you to appropriate screening based on your individual risk factors. And, you know, in the majority of cases, people don't need to take it on themselves to go to these screenings because it is expensive. And people with very few risk factors really have very little chance of finding any asymptomatic disease.
Yeah, because the findings is it's a very low percentage, isn't it? It's only 5%, 2% or 5% or something like that. But if the doctor recommends it, my insurance will cover it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
If I go to the screenings, I write a check. Right. I've talked to people who have had those screenings done, and they tell me it provides them with some peace of mind. Do you agree that that's a good enough idea?
Yeah, I think that, you know, psychologically that can be a big factor. And if you really are worried and you don't seem to be getting answers from your physician, I think that's an appropriate thing to do. But
And then they send you the results and you can see your doctor and maybe move on from there.
Right. And a lot of times if you do have a positive result, your physician would probably repeat those studies just because you want to be sure that the findings were accurate.
Absolutely. All right. If listeners want to get more information or they'd like to see you, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call our general number, which is 464-1800.
Okay.
And we can certainly see them. And then there are, you know, internet resources for these conditions. Thevascularweb.org is a good site to go to. It's sponsored by the Society of Vascular Surgery, and it has a patient-appropriate explanation for all these conditions.
Excellent. That sounds really useful. When you do these screenings, is there anything else you find besides the carotid stenosis and the peripheral artery disease?
Yeah, we also screen for aortic aneurysms, which is an abnormal enlargement of the abdominal aorta, which is the largest blood vessel in the body. And if that gets to be very, very large, it's at risk for breaking open or rupturing.
Oh, an aneurysm is. Exactly what is an aneurysm?
It's just a weakness in the wall of the artery that causes it to bulge and enlarge, just like an inner tube of a tire with a weak spot would bulge. And when that gets to be large, it has a risk for breaking open, which would cause massive internal bleeding, and most people would not survive if that happened.
You know, I have a dozen more questions for you. Would you be able to stay through the news?
Sure.
That would be great, Dr. Costanza. Listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.